The third petition of the Lord's Prayer reads, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And a brief explanation of this petition is found in Lord's Day 49, which is the third petition. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will and without murmuring obey thy will, which is only good, that so everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. It is, beloved, preparatory this morning. And as I looked at this petition, this third petition of the Lord's Prayer, and as we are just up to the discussion of this third petition, I thought it very fitting, without any trouble, to apply this particular prayer of the Lord's Prayer to are partaking of the table of the signs of the broken bread and the wine poured out at the table of communion. That is not far-fetched. It is evident, beloved, that at the Lord's table we cannot come unless we have in our hearts the sincere desire to do the will of our Father in heaven. Particularly as that will of our Father in heaven is revealed and manifested in the table of communion. According to that revelation, at the table of the Lord, it is the will of our Father in heaven that we shall know and confess our sins. That's always his will. That is also implied in the explanation that we find in this 49th Lord's Day of the third petition. Renounce our own will. That is, confess that your own will is no good. Confess that you have nothing to do with the things concerning your own will, but that the will of God alone is good. The will of God at the table of communion is, beloved, that we shall firmly believe, not in our own righteousness, but in the righteousness of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. That too is fundamental. Without that faith, that our righteousness is never in ourselves, but is always and only in Jesus Christ our Lord. Without that faith, we cannot even begin to do the will of God. We cannot even begin to long to do the will of God. And therefore, that too is revealed as the will of God at the table of the Lord. We shall not come to that table with any of our works. No matter how good we may think then, we shall come at that table only in the perfect confidence of the works of Christ. God's work. Nothing else. Nothing. And of course, it is the will of God at that table of the Lord to impress upon us and to sanctify to our hearts those signs of the broken bread in such a way that we may also in principle long to do the will of God in our whole life and be sanctified. That is virtually the same, beloved, as in this petition. At the table of the Lord, we must say and be able to say, be able to pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Briefly then, beloved, I'd like to call your attention to this particular petition, the third of the prayer which our Lord taught us to pray. And call your attention, first of all, to the meaning of this petition. That is, what does it mean? What is the contents of this prayer? Thy will be done. And Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The meaning. Secondly, the implication. What is presupposed in this petition? What is implied in the prayer, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, as far as our confession in regard to our relation to our sovereign God is concerned? And thirdly, look upon this petition as it is, as a prayer. The meaning, the implication, and the third petition as a prayer. This petition asks for the will of God. That the will of God may be accomplished, and that the will of God may be done. God's will, beloved, is His sovereign determination, His intelligence, and all-wise determination in regard to every creature that is in general the will of God. It is a God's determination in regard to what that creature shall be, In regard to what that creature shall become, and of course, in regard to what that creature shall do. And this a particular petition evidently has regard, although not exclusively, yet chiefly, to the will of God concerning His moral, rational creatures that have a will of their own. Men and angels. That is evidently emphasized in this third petition. God created creatures that are free, that were free, and some of them are still free, to will and to do the will of God. That is freedom. God created creatures that are able to know, to choose by their own mind, to do the will of God. That is freedom. It's not freedom that a man has the power to do and to choose, or not to do and not to choose the will of God. That is not freedom. Freedom is exactly that state of man and of the angels, but of man now, in which he wills and loves and chooses and does the will of God. That's the only freedom that is. God, I say once more, created creatures that were, in that sense of the word, free. And as far as man is concerned, that were exalted and raised to the highest freedom in Christ. That's freedom. The freedom that is in Christ is the freedom that sends this petition to the throne of grace. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is the prayer of freedom. Now, beloved, this petition asks for the will of God, which, according to the Heidelberg Catechism, is only good. The will of God is the only good will. That's true, because the will of God is the same as His being. God is good. And because He is good, His will is good. God is only good. There is no evil in Him. He's a light, and there is no darkness in Him. And as he is the light, and as he is good, as he is holy, as he is righteous, as he is just, and all the other attributes, so is his will. The reason is, beloved, that the will of God is determined only by himself, never by anything outside of himself. With us, that is different, of course. With us, the will of God, the will of man, is often dependent and determined by all kinds of things outside of ourselves, not with God. God's will is absolutely free and absolutely sovereign. Depends only on his own being and on nothing else. That is why the will of God is as good as God is. And for that reason, the Heidelberg Catechism explains, beloved, that this third petition means the prayer that we shall ask in all stations of life for the will of God, and that too for our perfect doing and our perfect willing and our perfect loving of the will of God, as perfect as it is in heaven, as the angels perform the will of God in heaven. That's the explanation of the catechism. That means, beloved, that this explanation of the catechism proceeds from the fact, from the truth, that we are always office bearers. That's really the meaning of the words of the catechism. It says here, I think, our station in life, or something like that. But the idea is, the office, at Amt, is the office of believers, is the idea of this catechism. That so everyone may attend to and perform the duties of a station and calling. In the Dutch you have Amt and Beroep. That's really nicer than station and calling. I like that idea, which is so thoroughly scriptural, too, that in our whole life, we stand in office with all office bearers in our whole life. Not only the ministers, the elders, the deacons, but all office bearers, without exception. Also, the mother in her home, when she gives the baby a dry daddy, or washes dishes, or anything like that. That's an office. It's nice to know that, beloved. Nice to live in that consciousness. And then you don't say anymore, must I do that again? I'm sick of it. Oh, no. You stand before God in office as the mother of your children in the home. You stand before God in office as the father of your children in the family. An office, a station and calling, an amt and beruf. You stand before God in office in all your work, no matter what your work is. Maybe teacher, that's nice. Maybe it's more easy to think that you stand in office when you're a teacher. But, beloved, you are in office too when you work in the factory. When you sweep the shop, that's an office. And when you sweep the shop, you must ask this third petition. Thy will be done when I sweep thee off, sweep this shop. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's true of all our station and call. Whatever we do, all our whole life. That, beloved, makes our life rich. Don't you see? An office means that we are appointed by God. Appointed. We are appointed by God to do whatever is our calling. And I define appointment. Don't forget that. That's true no matter what we do. A divine appointment and a divine obligation. So that we stand in the service of God, are obliged to do that which we are appointed to do. That's our obligation. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven means, beloved, I stand here on earth. In all my life, as appointed by thee, and as before thy face to do my duty, my obligation. It's a privilege to not only the must, but also the may. So that whatever I do, beloved, whatever I'm appointed to do in all my life, oh, I know it's so miserable sometimes. Don't think that you only have that, beloved. I have that too. Don't think that when you sweep the shop or when you give the baby a clean tidy, that you are saying, I don't like this business. Oh, I have a lot of things to do too in my calling that Reverend Hanko has and the elders have that they don't like at all. Of course, that's always the case. But, beloved, it's a privilege. Appointed. Obliged. And a privilege because we stand in the service of God in all that we do. And so God gives the ability to do what we are called to do. That also belongs to the office. He gives to every one of you the necessary talents, the necessary pounds to work in the office. He gives to every one of you all the ability which you need. Which you need as sweeper of the shop, which we need as minister or professor in the school. Same thing. That's God. Thy will be done means exactly according to the catechism, exactly that. Give us grace, O God, that we may perform our duty, our station, our calling as faithfully in this earth as the angels do in heaven. Now, that is nice too. And that we pray that we may do it as faithfully, as perfectly as the angels do it in heaven. But, beloved, I think I would criticize the catechism a little here. Not so much because it isn't true, but because I think there's more to. More to. We do not only pray that we may do the will of God as the angels do in heaven. We pray too that we may do the will of God as the saints do in heaven. And what is more important, we pray that we may do the will of God as Christ does in heaven. That's more important. Christ is in heaven. He does the will of God too. In heaven too. Oh yes. Yeah. And we really, beloved, really in the new dispensation should look to heaven. Not so much at the angels. That's all right. But we should especially and centrally look at Christ. And say to our Father in heaven, Oh, Father in heaven, give me grace that I may do thy will as Christ does it in heaven and on earth. Oh, yes. Perfect. That I may do thy will in Christ. In Christ. That I may do thy will from the principle that I am in Christ, and therefore perfectly, and heavenly. That I may do thy will, O my God, in Christ Jesus, and by his grace, as perfectly, but also as heavenly, as I hope to perform it in the future, when I shall be in thy tabernacle forever and stand face to face to thee. That is the meaning of this petition. You know, the will of God is distinguished. We must briefly point to that fact. The will of God, as you know, is distinguished. It is distinguished as the will of God's decree and the will of God's command. I really don't like that distinction, but I don't know of any other terms. Distinction there is. I don't like the terms hidden and revealed will, because they are not true. It's not true that the will of God's command, so-called, is revealed, and the will of God's decree is hid. That's not true. The will of God's decree is revealed, beloved. Revealed. I know it isn't revealed to us in detail as to what shall happen to you and to me tomorrow morning and tomorrow and this week. Of course not. We don't have to know that. We don't know the will of God in detail in regard to all our life and walk. That is it, that's true. We don't know whether we shall lose children tomorrow or the day after or next week or not. We don't know anything about that will of God. That's perfectly all right. But nevertheless, the will of God's decree is revealed in as far as it is the contents of salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord. In regard to that, the will of God is revealed perfectly. Moreover, beloved, the will of God is revealed to us from day to day. I know to this very moment what the will of God concerning me is as far as His will of decree is concerned. I know what He wills concerning me at this moment. I do not know at the next moment, but I know at this time, of course. Always that will of God is continually revealed. Never mind, I don't like that distinction. Hidden and revealed will. The will of God's decree and the will of God's command is also not quite perfect, but I like that distinction better. But, beloved, of course the will of God's decree is, in that respect, the will of God concerning us. The will which God accomplishes concerning us. He himself accomplishes his will of decree. While the will of God command is the will of God which we love and choose and accomplish. That's the difference. But what I want to bring out is this. That often the distinction is so used that it means that the third petition has only to do with the will of God's command. When we read, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," the interpretation is that concerns only the will of God's command and not the will of God's decree at all. That is not correct. In the first place, that ought to be evident from the very terminology of the prayer. The prayer does not say, "Our Father who art in heaven, give us grace to do thy will." But it merely says, "Our Father in heaven, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That may include both wills. More important is, beloved, that we really can never separate the will of God's decree and the will of God's command. We can never separate them. Often, always, we must will the will of God's decree as well as the will of God's command. We must will that will. When I'm sick, I lie helpless on my sick bed as I did years ago. I have to say, "Our Father in heaven, Give me grace to will that will. That's necessary. That's action, although it is not action with our hands and our feet, it's action with our soul to say, I will the will of my Father in heaven in sickness and trouble. That's action, the action of the will. When our Father in heaven takes away those that are dear to you, your children, your wife, your husband, you must will that will of your Father in heaven. That's action. The action of faith. You must not criticize. You must not rebel. But you must be one with the will of your Father in heaven. That's included in this petition. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father in heaven, give me grace in all circumstances of life, no matter how adverse they may be, to pray Thy will, not my will, be done. I renounce my own will and pray for Thy will. That's in this petition. When there is war, I must be able to say, Our Father in heaven, Thy will be done, even when Thou takest my sons out of my home and perhaps have them killed on the battlefield. Thy will be done. That's included in this petition. That action, that's not passivity, that's the action of faith. The will of faith. Moreover, beloved, not only that, but when our Father in heaven gives us our own limited ability and capabilities, we must be satisfied. We must will, say, to have only power to work in the shop, when others have power to work in the school and in the office and in the ministry. We must will that. Everyone in his own station must will the measure of gifts which God has given to everyone, and therefore say, Thy will be done in regard to me, our Father in heaven. So, it's not true that the will of God in this petition is only the will of God's command, so-called, but it certainly implies the will of God's decree. They are inseparable. Notice, beloved, that this petition implies in regard to God absolute sovereignty. And in regard to us, the same absolute dependence. This is a prayer. This is not the law. The law is, thou shalt do this. The law is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and mind and soul and strength. That's the law. But this is a prayer. We ask our Father in heaven for something. For what? We ask, oh yes, we ask too, that our Father in heaven may accomplish His own will, no matter what that will means for us. That's the implied too. But it also is implied that we ask our Father in heaven that we may do His will. That's strange, isn't it? We ask our Father in heaven not for anything that He may give us. We do not ask Him for a reward, even the reward of grace. We do not ask Him for that. We ask Him for grace to do His will. You know, that's beautiful. Before the face of God, beloved, there are no free willists. Ever noticed that? Before the face of God, there are no Arminians. Before the face of God, there are no Pelagians. Ever notice that? There are no Arminians before the face of God in prayer. The true Arminian and the true Pelagian does not pray, beloved. It does not pray. Doesn't. It's only the man that believes an unconditional election. It's only the man that believes in absolutely sovereign grace. Unconditional grace. That can really pray. And if one is a mistaken Arminian, there are Christians that way, I think. Lack of instruction, lack of knowledge may sometimes make people Arminian or think that they are Arminian. Yet, when they come before the face of God, they are Arminian no longer. Cannot be. Before the face of God, they never say, "Our Father in heaven, thou doest thy part, and I do my part, and together we work." Let them say that one. That's impossible. That's impossible. Never works. Our Father in heaven, I know that Thou wilt give me grace if I want it, if I will it. That's nonsense. Oh no. And that is all implied in this prayer, beloved. Our Father in heaven, Thy will be done. What's that? Our Father in heaven, give me grace that I may do Thy will. That, of course, is the meaning. That means, our Father in heaven, I confess that I cannot possibly do thy will except thou give me grace. I am absolutely dependent on thy absolutely sovereign grace. Otherwise, I cannot do thy will. Otherwise, I cannot confess my sins before thee. Impossible. I cannot come to the Lord's table confessing my sins. And therefore I ask thee, our Father in heaven, give me grace, please, that the next Sabbath I may come to the Lord's table sincerely confessing my sins. All dependent on him. I pray that, I say in my prayer, that I cannot come to the Lord's table in the faith of the righteousness of Christ except my Father in heaven gives me that faith and gives me that faith on the next Sabbath so that I can come to the Lord's table. And therefore, I pray with a view to the Lord's table, our Father in heaven, give me grace this week to be strengthened in that faith that looks upon the righteousness of Christ alone. Give me grace when I plan to approach the table of the Lord on the next Sabbath day. Give me grace that I may be able then, when I look at the signs of the broken bread and the wine poured out, give me grace then to look only at the righteousness of Christ. That's the prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give me grace, our Father in heaven, that I may really renounce my own will. Oh, I know my will is wicked by nature. My will is corrupt. My will is rebellious. I know it. I'm conscious of it. I'm sorry for it. It's right there, but it's true. I have but a small beginning of the new obedience. All the rest of me is wicked. All the rest of me is darkness and rebellion. That's all. Nothing else. Nothing else. A small beginning of the new obedience. What I will, I do not. What I do not will, that's what I do, our Father in heaven. And therefore, I pray, thee, for grace that when I come to the Lord's table, not my own sinful nature may have the upper hand and the victory over me, but that small beginning of the new obedience may have the victory so that I can really and truly say before thee, my Father in heaven, I long to do thy will and renounce my own will. That's grace. Only grace. Calvinism. No Arminianism. Election. Sovereign election. Grace. Sovereign grace. That's all it is. No Arminian could possibly pray this. And therefore, beloved, this prayer as a prayer, it means that we really long to do the will of God. Long to do. Don't you know?
that's implied in it as a prayer. The prayer means that we long to know the will of God. The prayer means, too, that we long to study the will of God. The prayer means that we long to know the Word of God concerning His will. The prayer means that we long to hear the will of God in church and everywhere. And the prayer means that we long to do the will of God. If that is not in us, we are hypocrites. It means, too, beloved, to be very concrete for a moment, it means, too, that we cannot possibly pray this petition if there is a sin in our hearts that we like to keep. Don't you see? Then we're hypocrites. No matter what the particular sin that we like to nourish in our hearts is. Maybe it's displeasure or hatred or a will concerning the brother or sister. Make no difference what. As long as we cannot say, "Our Father in heaven, I sincerely like to renounce my own will. I sincerely like to be rid of all my sins and iniquities. I sincerely long to do thy will only." We cannot pray this petition. That is implied in this petition as a prayer. It's implied in this petition as a prayer, beloved, that we pray for grace, of course. For grace. That we understand that only when the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, through His Word, works in us and through us, can we do the will of God. We are not God's party, but we are of God's party. There are no parties in the covenant, but our part of the covenant is the fruit of God's part in the covenant, and therefore we pray, "Our Father in heaven, give us grace to do thy will." And lastly, this petition, of course, looks forward to perfection. We long for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in a way we long for death. Principally, we long for death, not, beloved, as the suicide longs for death. The Christian never commits suicide. The suicide longs for death because he's sick of life. The Christian longs for death because he enjoys life. In his station and calling, to perform the will of God perfectly. That is the enjoyment of life. And because the Christian endures life from that point of view, he longs for death. He longs for the time when the earthly house of this tabernacle shall be dissolved. He longs for the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, when all things shall be made new. and body and soul they shall be perfectly able to perform the will of God forever. Thus, beloved, thus, in principle thus, don't be discouraged, not perfectly, but thus, we nevertheless come to the table of the Lord on the next Sabbath day. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word, which is always perfect. Give us grace to know and to believe and to trust, and really to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. We sing 336. I have followed truth and justice. Leave me not in deep distress. Be my help and my protection. Let the proud no more oppress. For thy word and thy salvation, Lord, my eyes with longing fail. Teach thy statutes to thy servant. Let thy mercy now prevail. Let's sing the first stanza. 336.
Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with you. Amen.